I think. Or is it evening already? It's approaching. We are at the end of our time here. And so we were asked to share, and I think that's exactly what we'll do. We'll do mostly sharing a bit of our time here and what that's meant for us being a part of this community. And we'll do that, and I just want to be totally honest with you, we'll just do this in 26 points. I just want to lay that out beforehand. There are those who have come who have not told you bluntly beforehand how long. Number one, we like you people a lot. We love you. Therefore, it's not going to be 26 points. Okay, so we are Keith and Laura, if you're new here, and we're on our way out, so hi and bye. Thanks for coming. You did a beautiful job outside there. It was awesome. We came about 5 years ago, within 2 weeks of now, and we came primarily to do education for myself, and do master's work and training of sorts, to also participate in church, find a community. That was another big thing of coming here, was not just to go to school. And then also, we already knew that there was a lot of people that wanted to come, and so we sort of knew and anticipated that we would be receiving former students of ours, and that just sort of multiplied, and we'll get to that. And then also just to try to engage the culture and the people who live here. As we were going to be coming here and living here, we wanted to try to participate as best we could. And the very first sermon that we heard became sort of the relevant message for our whole time here. That was just one big part, and that was Alex Pettit's sermon on the 4th of July of 2009. And his basic message, which came out of 1 Kings 17, when Elijah visits this widow of Zarephath, and she has just gone out to collect basic provisions to go home and die. There's been a famine in the land, and on the way, she meets this prophet from Israel who says, can you make me some food? And she says, well, I'm about to go do that myself with my son, and we're going to die. And he says, well, that's great, but first make me a cake. Because God said, you know, the God of Israel says, your cup's not going to go empty, your flour's not going to go dry, you'll be satisfied. And she's got the guts to go ahead and do this with a foreign prophet. Now, in all of that sermon, Alex brought out about interruptions in your life, divine interruptions and just daily interruptions. People that just, you know, come to you and find you out, and stuff that just, you know, exists in the Middle East and in this country that that everybody knows about, and it's perpetual. You just sort of get grinded by it, or they still continually shock you after 5 years. But that message really stood out to us because we felt like there's been a lot of that in our time here in the last 5 years with people, and that we've really taken on this hospitality bit, where people have just continually come into our home, sometimes for long periods, sometimes for just short stints, but for some reason we've had sort of like a hostel or a hotel of people coming in and out. And so Alex's sermon really kind of stuck with us this whole time. That's been one of the themes of our time here, is just receiving people. And this place has been a really great example of how to learn that hospitality.
As the widow of Zarephath learned, this interruption of Elijah was not easy. I mean, obviously, that interruption in her day was a challenge, but at the same time, obviously a huge blessing, because her cakes did not run dry, her flour and her oil were there, and what a blessing that came out of these interruptions. And so we wanted to share a few kind of humorous interruptions that have happened in our 5 years here, things we have learned from them, and ways we have been blessed. Some of these are just random, but things that we love some of these stories. And one of them happened, I think we had only been living here 2 weeks. And as you know, Jerusalem's kind of a hub for YWAM, and they have a lot of youth with a mission people who come here. And we happened to have a connection with one of them. I don't even know how, but they called us up and they said, "Hey, we hear you live in Jerusalem. Can I come and stay with you? We're done with our YWAM program. We need a place to stay." We said, "Sure." And at this time, we're living in this one-bedroom apartment. It's tiny. It's right on Hebron Road. It's small. And so we said, "Sure, we can have one person come." So Keith comes, walks to the old city, meets this girl, figures out who she is, because we had never actually seen her. And when we get there, when Keith gets there, she has another friend standing there, and she's like, can my friend stay too?" And Keith said, "Sure, come on down." And here I'm at home preparing for one person to walk into our house. And as Keith and these two girls are walking home, he keeps turning around and sees more people following these girls. And he was like, "Okay, I think that we now have four." And he didn't say anything. They keep walking, and by the time they walk into our apartment, there are seven people following Keith. And I was like, "Okay, I'm hoping that these are just friends who are here to stay for an hour or something." But no, these seven people needed a place to stay. And so I'm still in my very westernized American lifestyle of, I was preparing for one person, I don't have food, I don't have beds, I don't have, you know, and I freaked out a little bit in my own way. I didn't allow these people to see that, but I was counting them going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like there are seven people. And we literally, they made it. We slept like sardines in that one-room apartment. Marianne was 9 months old, and she's sleeping in her pack and play in the corner of the room, and these other seven college students are there too. And we actually had a great time with them. It ended up being a really fabulous 5 days that they ended up staying. And then they asked, you know, "Can we use your washing machine?" "Sure, use my washing machine." And then we had some issues with that. And then, you know, it was just the washing machine exploded and we had a flood while we have all these people sleeping on our floor. And so it was in those first 2 weeks we realized, okay, this is different and this is going to be okay. And that experience has then blossomed into, we have had many more people sleeping on our floor and on our couches and in our beds. And
not our bed,
thankfully. Anyway, and one of these YWAM students actually ended up staying for 6 weeks. And that was, it was such an opportunity. We valued it. We ended up valuing it, even though my initial reaction was, "Oh my word, like, how did you allow seven people to join you along the road?" My heart's been changed, and needless to say, hospitality is a beautiful thing, and it would be a blessing if seven more people walked into our home. We'd figure it out, and we always find enough food, and It's pretty fun. So that's one of those interruptions that ended up being pretty just life-changing.
So that was our introduction, and part of big part of what Alex's sermon on was just being open-handed with your stuff and with your time. And having people around always requires both. And so that sermon just kind of really solidified, okay, we really need to put this into practice. The other favorite interruption that we always have continually is our neighbor Ruth Joy, older senior lady, I don't know, mid-80s maybe, but just a firecracker of an old woman. Our favorite one is when she came over. She comes over for everything, for me to change her winter socks. When it, in the wintertime, she can't get them off, and she's probably been wearing them for over a week. So they have a certain stench to them, but that's her favorite story to tell, is that I was always willing to take her socks off for her. My favorite one is when she came over once at dinner time and took her shirt off to show us that she had these big moles on her back, and her doctor had taken a permanent marker and circled them for her because she needed someone to rub ointment on it every day for a month. And so she just came over and took her shirt off and asked Laura to do it. And so every day for a month at 6 o'clock, Laura put some ointment on. And again, it was just like you meet different kinds of people here.
And we love her too.
And she's our favorite person. She has our kids over once a week for tea time, and they play like cowboys and things like that. It's a different world. We also play the Shabbat Goy. We're the only non-Jews in our apartment, so we're often on Friday nights turning off ovens and things. And that's also something that we've been able to learn a lot just by living here and develop relationships on a different level, recognizing differences and being able to assist people in different ways because of these differences. So that's also been really significant interruptions that have taught us things. Linda and I were just going to try to change the title over on the car a few days ago, and we just had to like pay this little fee to the post office, which was a nice long walk for us. And we found out that this nice note said on the outside, the post office has been stolen and has now been relocated on Agrippa Street. But I thought, of all things, we had to come and find a post office that had been stolen. I've never seen that here. So that was a fun interruption. But we got it done. It was good. Along with the people, this interruption of people, that has also kind of played into effect with being a student, and have had to kind of make a lot of sacrifices at time. To this point, we've had between 90 and 100 people that have stayed a significant period of time in our home in the last 5 years. So that's a lot of days during the year that you're playing host. And it sort of takes its toll on the daily rhythm of trying to just accomplish life and what it is you have laid out for you as a student and things like this. But in spite of all that, we've been very blessed by these interruptions and feel like that what we saw represented in this community and how they show hospitality was something that we have learned an immense amount from. And we see them as from the Lord, these interruptions. So what we do with our time, what we do with our stuff, we've learned how to just release. Because in that, like what Alex had really preached, was that that God takes things and puts things in. And that has been really significant in our time here is how things have been moved around once we're willing to just sort of like let go of things.
And I think sometimes the word interruption has a negative connotation. You think somebody calls and they've interrupted my nap. An interruption isn't always positive. But we've taken this theme of interruption as a very positive thing in our life. And we challenge you guys to feel the same way. Living in this country, living in community, allow your hands to be open to those interruptions, because the Lord uses those. The Lord blesses you through those. And being open and willing to give of time and things. And it might seem annoying when they walk in your door, when they call, or whatever it might be, but allow your hands to be open. That's our challenge. It's been a challenge to us. Setting that theme of interruptions aside briefly, we want to talk about who we are because of this place and because of you. this isn't the first time you've seen me cry. Here we go. But most of what we've learned in this country is because of you and because of this place and our relationships here. And we've been trying to kind of... It wasn't hard. We were listing things that we appreciate about this place, things that we've seen in Narkees that we haven't seen other places. And so as we go through this list briefly, we're talking about you. We're talking about what you've done for us, not only for us, but for other people in this community. And we just want you to know how grateful we are. One thing we've seen in this community that is unique, unfortunately, but it's that people continually seek each other out to make amends, to ask for forgiveness. I feel like this community works well together, If there's a problem, we figure it out. If you have a problem with someone, you go to them. We've seen it time and time again, living out that biblical principle of seeking out forgiveness from someone else. And it is a beautiful picture. A grudge is rarely held in this room. It's not easy, when we know there have been struggles in that too. But seeking forgiveness and being right with other believers is highly valued here. And we thank you for modeling that for us. Thank you for showing us what that looks like. There are very differing opinions in this room, believe it or not. We come from different backgrounds, different theologies. And yet, this place, in this room, we come together. We love each other. And those differences can be represented, and it's okay. It's okay to have those differing opinions, and we exist well despite those differences. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what the church can be and should be, and will be one day. Leading from that, this is also a great place where it's okay to ask questions. It is okay if you don't get something. It's okay to have a crisis of faith, because we've seen this community wrap around people in those times. Thank you for that. Thank you for loving people through those times of questioning and wrestling, and continue to do that. You guys are good at that. And I think it's because you've all done it yourself. We've all been in those places of questioning and wrestling and wondering. And it's a beautiful thing to wrap around each other. Another thing we've learned is that eating good food is fun. You guys are great at valuing food. And honestly, we love that. We love the fact that we come around the table together often and have a potluck, and we've gone into so many of your homes and sat around your tables, and we haven't had enough of you over doing the same. But we love the fact that a meal is important to you, because so many good things happen around a table. The good conversations, what that represents as believers uniting. Some of our best memories are being in your homes, sitting around your tables. I will never forget the feeling once of just sitting around the old pew at Chuck and Liz's house, around this big wooden table, and feeling loved and feeling like I belonged there. I was not an outsider, and it was a beautiful feeling. And that really rooted us to you guys, being able to just share life together, because that happens in homes and around a table. And thank you for letting us experience that with you. We feel real here. We feel honest. We feel like we can be who we are. We feel comfortable. And also, this place values people's stories, as we've seen this morning. I love the fact that we can share our testimonies. I've been so impacted by hearing people share their stories here. You've allowed me to share my story here, and Keith. I'll never forget when Julie Korn shared her story, when Josh Miles shared his story, Will and Sharona Pong. There, I could go on and on. But those are things I will forever carry in my heart. I have learned from them. We've gained so much insight from all of you, because you allow yourself to be real and honest, and we thank you for that. Narcisse has made living here more desirable, more endurable, more sustaining. It's not easy living here. We don't even need to get into that, because you all know the ins and outs of what it means to live here. And you guys have made it, like I said, an endurable place to live. And we have thrived, I think, because of who you are.
I was on tour the last couple weeks, and just also coming off of final exams and also thinking about leaving, and what this place has meant to us. And it was at Engedi that I thought, this is probably one of the best pictures that that I could use, or as a metaphor for this community. And Jesus even uses this metaphor for himself when he's in Jerusalem during Sukkot. In John 7, I'll even read a little bit of it, where Jesus reveals a couple things about himself when he comes for Sukkot, that he is the light of the world, and that he is the source. It's the last and greatest day of the feast. This is John 7:37. Jesus stands up, and in a loud voice, there's again thousands and thousands of people, says, "If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, streams of living waters will flow from within him. And at En Gedi, seeing this image of living water and coming to the source, Jesus claiming that he's the source, and that when you come to this, you become this to other people. That has really been, for me, what Narcisse is. It is a place, although very meager in size, has something here that is life-giving and life-sustaining. And we have found that here. I remember one semester having to do a lot of field studies and hating to miss Shabbat, because the Bible studies for me was that source. The worship, the service, everything had so much continuity from beginning to end that God was speaking something. Even in the most bizarre of sermons, God could speak. That is a very special place. And you could find connections all the way from the Bible study through the strangest of sermons, that God was speaking. And that says something. And for us, that's the picture that we have, is that it is this source that is deep, that is sustaining, and that fills people and sends them out to be that source to other people. So I like that picture for Narcisse. I think that's what you have going for you. The Bible study for me is really what probably drew us back here that first Shabbat, because of I was doing the BLC 10 years ago already, and the Bible studies had just vastly opened me up to God and to a relationship with Jesus in a different way. You have people in this community, Bible scholars, that have deep faith and have exemplified a steady life with Jesus. And for someone who studies Bible, I wanted that. I wanted to be a part of a community that I felt showed what it meant to follow Jesus in spite of what in the scholarly world feels like can often get beat up. Faith can get beat up and diminished very quickly if you don't have something sustaining in your life. And I found that. I can speak for myself. I found that here, and still feel like every time I come, I am fed. I am, you know, I am trained, and that I don't think exists anywhere in the world but Narcisse, to be totally honest. And that is something that you have going for you at Narcisse that I hope stays a primary value, is that Bible study. We can summarize some of that.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
So you've been a source for us as we go out, and that's what we're doing next. We're going out from here. We are departing Jerusalem, as many have. You see people come and go here all the time. And now it's our turn. And actually, it's okay, despite my tears. We really are okay. We are next going to Holland, Michigan, a tiny Dutch community in the Midwest of the United States.
Wannabe Dutch.
Yeah,
they're
wannabe
Americans.
Dutch. I should be wearing my Dutch shoes that we got from Inga last night. But we feel okay going there. It is where we were born and raised. Honestly, never saw ourselves going back, but the Lord has led us there, and we feel a peace about that. Keith gets to go and teach high school students, which is his passion, and it's been so fun ever since he's gotten this job the last 3 months to see him come alive, to see his passion come back out of wanting to teach this next generation, because that's what we've been here for, is for him to be studying, and we're excited to let him go back and do that. We've been fed here, we've been refreshed here, we've been trained here, and now we're being sent back out, and it's our time to go. And Narcisse is an important place for others who are yet to do the same. Many of you don't know where you'll be in years down the road, and we just pray that you can stay rooted here until it's time to go. And if it's your job to stay here and continue to feed those who come in and out of this place. We've gained a better sense of identity of who we are in a body of believers, and Narcisse has been our foundation. Thank you for being our foundation while we've been here. Pray for us, please, as we go back to family, which is great. We're excited to go back to family, but this is going to be a transition. Pray for Keith as he teaches. Pray for his students. Entering back into American culture once again won't be quite an easy thing for us. We hope and pray we can keep our lifestyle that we've lived here, our open hands, appreciating interruptions, giving of what we have. Pray that we can continue that back in America. Pray that we can find a church and a community. No, it will not be Narcisse, and that's okay. We know that. We cannot find this again. And it might be a long process finding one, but it will happen. We know it will. And we'll appreciate your prayers. You will always be with us. As we've said, you have shaped us. We are who we are today because of this place, because of you opening your homes, sharing your lives, sharing your stories. Continue to do that because it blesses people more than you know.
I would just reiterate that one of the biggest prayer requests we have is a church community. It's rarely that you can find a place where children do 15-meter dashes during worship, where you can have a sermon on playing while rockets are falling. That's a pretty special place. And anything we've said here will there's so much that we're not covering that we hope to, you know, communicate through the rest of our life what our time in this place has done for us. I don't know if you've checked your vision statement or the church's vision statement and your identity statements in a while, but I think you should. It's something that I've looked at on your website. Yeah, on your website. But I'll read a couple and see if you see that this exists here. Narcisse Street Congregation seeks to commune with God through prayer and worship, both individually and corporately. I think we've done that. We're a house of prayer for all nations. A forum of freedom for both visiting pilgrims and local residents. We gather weekly for prayer of the immediate needs of the congregation. We encourage members to have to commune with the Lord. We seek to be peacemakers and to accept people and build community centered on Jesus. This is a place that that doesn't shy away from messiness. It's not a sterile community if you've been here long enough. And that is something that will leave a huge impression on us, is this place is a picture of a part of society here. And it hasn't tried to stay clean and sterile. And that is meant that has impressed us a great deal. So may you continue to be that source and that refuge that we have found it to be. And we pray that others will come in like we have and receive the same kind of life-giving sustenance that exists here. Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, for bringing us together to meet one more time with the dear family, dear friends. We ask, Lord, that you just continue to use this place. Go before these people, protect them, use them, grow them, give them peace. Thank you for who they are. Thank you for allowing them grace. Thank you for allowing them love as they have trained us, trained our family, loved our children. Give that blessing back to these people, Lord. May they continue to seek you in all that they do. Thank you that they are a rock in this community. May they continue to be steadfast and to be honest and to be willing to be used, even if that's messy. Thank you. May we go out from here with joy and with peace and with love. Thank you, Father, for Narcisse. We love you. Thank you for being our foundation, for being our living water, for being our source of life. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.